It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're each treasured and valued. You each have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is your favorite day of the week. It is a Monday, which is moving you towards Friday, producer Steve.
A.K.A. the day before Tuesday.
You got it. You got it. Be sure, and I would recommend that people check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcasts. And we promise not to blow your email inbox up. We typically only send one email once a week. To update what's coming up, as well as the podcasts and the op-eds are super important. And the op-ed that we have from Rick Turnquist is just a very important one, as well as we did a couple of podcasts, one with Ivy Liu, who's running for re-election for SD49 school board. Really, really important. We're seeing what's going on in education, and so many people are stepping forward to run for school board. We've had a number of them on. And then also, we recorded a longer interview with our guest in the second segment. That's Leslie Manoukian. She is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, and taking legal action on some of these terrible, terrible coerced, forced mandates out there. So again, that is really important stuff. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We really, really do appreciate that. And again, a great show planned for you today. We'll have Leslie in the second segment and then Alan Thomas in the third and fourth segment about the difficulty of living a principled life. And when government comes in and challenges you on your principles, you've got a government that is out of control, producer Steve.
You do. And going right back to what you just said about Friday's show with Rick Turnquist, just last night, our favorite person, one of our many favorite people, Nancy Pelosi, comes out of the woodwork, I don't know, wherever she hangs out, and says she's got the votes, you know, for this upcoming bill. And I'm wondering, is this just more bad theater, you know, to make everyone think she has the votes, but does she really?
Well, and we need to be contacting our representatives. I need to make a little call both to Bennett and Hickenlooper over on the Senate side as well.
Good luck.
Because this, this will bankrupt our country. This kind of spending, as Vladimir Lenin said, the way to break the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And if you look at the policies of this Democrat administration, and this is not the Democrat Party of JFK. This is a Democrat Party that is really pushing forward Marxist policies. JFK actually reduced taxes. But remember, Vladimir Lenin said the way to break the middle class is through taxation and inflation, and everything this administration is doing. And this is all the way from local to your municipalities, to your county, to your state, and to your country. Here we had politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that did not stand up for businesses. And as we go through the packet here, Steve, it's just pretty mind-boggling here what Patty has pulled out regarding this vaccine. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But let's see. Let's go to our inspiration wisdom for the day. As you know, my friends, we look at these issues. We're searching for truth and clarity. And we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or our latest, and that is government-induced inflation. And so our wisdom for today, this is a guy that I was not familiar with. His name is Michael Josephson. He is a former law professor and attorney who founded the nonprofit Joseph and Edna Josephson Institute of Ethics, located in Los Angeles, California, out of which he operates as a speaker and lecturer on the subject of ethics. The institute is named after his parents. He was born in 1942. And this is his quote. He said, "Character is not only doing the right thing when no one is looking, it's doing the right thing when everyone is looking. It's being willing to do the right thing even when it costs more than you want to pay." And we've always heard that quote is, character is doing the right thing when nobody is looking, but I hadn't really thought about this other thing. And in light of what is happening in our country with all of these mandates and force and coercion, I thought that was super interesting, doing the right thing when everyone is looking.
I'm wondering if we, the people, can get Professor Josephson in front of a joint session of Congress, tie them into their seats, and let them loose for a couple hours.
I don't think there are people in Congress that they have no grasp of what that really means.
Well, I go back to what you were just saying about what could potentially happen with the budget. And you said, this could bankrupt us. Yeah, and when it happens, they're going to go, oopsie, look what we did. Or is it the real intent to begin with? I mean, that's incredibly nefarious. That's any negative word I can think of. But they seem to be out to do it.
As I watch this more and more, Steve, yes, I do think that is their intent. It's remarkable to me that we have people in office that I believe do not care about the everyday hardworking American. And you can just look at the policies. And that is, you look at this open border. And interestingly enough, when I was talking to Brigitte Gabrielson, and we need to have her on again soon, we were talking after she'd been on, and she is doing some research on this whole refugee resettlement that began probably back in the 80s. And this really was an invasion as well, but it was done under the guise of helping people. And we paid NGOs, non-governmental organizations, to quote unquote help bring these refugees in under the guise that these people were persecuted. But what was interesting is we never assimilated them. They never understood. They came to America because America offered so much opportunity. But what we've seen is they've never taught what it is that has made America good. But not only has that happened in the refugee resettlement arena, but it's happened in our education system as well. We've had people that have gotten into the education system that are teaching our children that there is nothing good about America. When, on the other hand, you don't see people lining up at the borders to get into China or North Korea or Russia or Cuba. And are they coming here? It used to be because it was the land of opportunity. Are they now coming here because of all of the entitlements, which, once again, spending money that we don't have on people that are coming here, instead of taking care of our homeless, taking care of our veterans, it defies reason. And again, I think it is an actual invasion. And we've got to figure out a way to stop this, because this administration is not interested in that. They are creating this crisis to invade America. And again, the cost of this will bankrupt us, Steve.
And you want a great illustration of where this non-assimilation can get you? Look at Representative Ilhan Omar.
Right.
Her district is just, let's say, it's packed by people who will not assimilate. And she is there for as long as she chooses to stay. She will never be voted out of office.
Okay. So let's look at this from a strategy standpoint. The fact that many of these people that are coming in over the in the borders, they are moving them to red states. They are subtly trying to change the demographics of these states. And ultimately, and they we always talk about it, they are playing long game. Republicans have played short game. They haven't even realized this has been going on because they've been complicit in it as well. And ultimately, it could change elections. But speaking of changing elections, let's do run down here. The Maricopa audit came out, I think it was Thursday or Friday. And this is from the Epoch Times from Jack Phillips. It says the Arizona Senate hears of multiple inconsistencies found by the election audit. And one of the things was there were 23,344 mail-in ballots voted from prior addresses. And it says, according to the Cyber Ninjas report, these 23,000 plus ballots were received from previous addresses, and they were cast under voter registration IDs for people that may not have received their ballots by mail because they had moved, and no one with the same last name remained at the address. Through extensive data analysis, we have discovered approximately 23,344 votes that may have this condition. Cyber Ninjas noted in its report that if ballots were sent by forwardable mail, this would violate the Arizona Elections Procedures Manual. And Steve, when we were talking in our pre-call, you mentioned when after the election, and so the election happens November 3rd, and the legislatures of the states didn't even meet till after the first of the year. And so there was this din out there that if there is election fraud, prove it. You can't prove it. Well, you know what, Steve? It takes a long time to start to unpack this evidence. And this Maricopa County, Arizona report is, I think, very important. And when people have smugly said, show us the proof, the proof is coming here, Steve.
They said it smugly, like, oh, well, you guys don't have the wherewithal to go out and actually do it. Well, you're wrong. We do. Hey, before we go to break, read the next one. Just for the sheer math of it, I love the next one.
Okay, you know what? Which one is it you want? Tell me which one.
Oh, the one about more ballots were returned than were sent out.
Ah, you think there's a problem with that? How does that happen? And that's why this whole mail-in ballot thing is such a problem as well. We need to get back to... Now, if you want an absentee ballot, I know a lot of people appreciate the convenience of a mail-in ballot, but if these mail-in ballots actually are an easy way towards election fraud, then we need to get to a position where you at least have to request your ballot to come to you. And we also need to, I think, work back this very easy voter registration system that we have here in Colorado as well. It is a civic duty to understand what you're voting on. And this vote. Don't vote if you don't know what's going on and if you don't know who the candidates are. If you're not willing to do the homework on that, then don't vote. And that is why we're working on our voter guide that will be coming out here very soon, Steve, regarding this particular election cycle. And on this, we look at these issues as how does it match up against the Constitution? Is it good for the American people? Is it the proper role of government? And then we provide this as a tool. You may, after you read this and you read the initiatives or the amendment, you may choose the other way, and that's fine. But we just want you to be able to make an informed decision on this. And before we go to break, I have a lot of really great partners, and Hooters Restaurants is one of those. And they do have football specials, Steve. And whether or not it's they have dine-in specials, to-go specials, as well as a party pack if you're having a bunch of friends over. And so go to my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the sponsors tab, and all my sponsors will pop up there. And I highly recommend each and every one of them. And if you click on the Hooters tab, you will find all their specials there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Leslie Manoukian.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Leslie Manoukian, and have had several very important conversations with her. And we recorded a podcast on Friday, which is at my website. Be sure and check that out. And it was just riveting. Leslie Manoukian, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's early for me, but I'm here.
Good for you. An important conversation. And I was thinking about it this weekend, Leslie. And that is, as you said, we are living, not moving towards, we are living in a biofascist state. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, what most people perhaps don't see that's happening is that a biosecurity state is being enforced or implemented. And what I mean by that is that, you know, all the facial recognition, the test taking, the fingerprints on our phones, all these things that they are using to track us are going to be used to force those who don't comply with whatever the elite determine is necessary or appropriate, to push them to the edges of society. So, you know, we've had the president telling us that he may implement a no-fly policy for the unvaccinated. You don't have a vaccine passport, a green pass, whatever, you can't fly. We already have New York and Los Angeles implementing vaccine passports. You don't do what they say to do, you know, get the shot. You can't eat in a restaurant. You can't shop in some stores. You can't go to a concert or a sporting event. And it's really the implementation of a social credit score a la China. So China in the last few years has implemented what they call social credit scores. And if you jaywalk, they have thousands and thousands of cameras all over the cities. The first city where they implemented some of this, actually where they implemented 5G, and this is one of the technologies that facilitates this 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week surveillance of the population, was in Wuhan. That's where they implemented the first major 5G system in the world, in Wuhan, in the fall of 2019, interestingly. But if you jaywalk, or if your friends, like, they will flash an image of you up on a kind of a TV screen all over the city if you jaywalk in order to shame you. And that it will also affect your social credit score. If you're friends with someone on social media that espouses anti-government policies, or, you know, who criticizes the government or anything in any way, that can affect your social credit score. And then you can't book a high-speed train, or you can't book a plane ticket. You can't go in certain places. And so what's happening is we think, oh, that could never happen in the United States or in the West. But it is happening already. We're already seeing that those, if you lean conservative, you can't raise money through GoFundMe and other sites. If you have conservative opinions, you get booted off of social media. You get censored. If you challenge the COVID narrative, you get censored. I've had two people get flagged and censored on YouTube for interviewing me and talking about the fact that the COVID shots don't protect against transmission or infection. And so this whole biosecurity state is being implemented despite the fact that there is no public health reason whatsoever with respect to the shots. It's about control, not about COVID.
Well, and as we look at the headlines, one thing about this, Leslie, is the truth, the light will eventually show what's going on. That's why I think there's been such a concerted effort and at warp speed to try to shut down voices. But again, the truth is coming out. The Epoch Times reported that CDC's Walensky defends overruling the vaccine advisory panel on boosters. And again, it's just unbelievable. Then the next headline that our researcher had found is that Governor DeSantis secures 3,000 more COVID treatments for Florida after Biden cuts back distribution to red states. I mean, that's unbelievable to me. And then Norway.
Just so people know, of monoclonal antibodies, a treatment, yes. And in Norway?
Yes, and reclassifies COVID-19 as no more dangerous than the ordinary flu. So the truth is coming out. And the thing about this is people need to stand, and that's really what you talk about on the podcast that we recorded, is people need to stand up. And we've gone so far from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to if you don't take this jab, then you can't fly on an airplane. How did we get to there? And if we think that if you get the jab, things are going to stop, they're not. There's more coming down the pike here. So now is the time to stand, Leslie.
It is so important, Kim, what you just said. People must hold the line. And the reason that it's more important now than ever is because they're afraid. And that is why they are resorting to acts of desperation. They are afraid. And
they, you mean the fascists, right?
The fascists, the people in power pulling the strings, are afraid that the narrative is unraveling. At Duke University, they just had about 400 students all get sick. 98% of them had gotten the shot. 98%. It doesn't work. In fact, it undermines your immune system and makes you more susceptible to not only infection, but to heart attacks, heart problems, neurological complications, you know, Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis, all sorts of things, blood clots and on and on. And that's starting to come out. People are starting to wake up. And a huge portion of the people who get the first shot don't want to get the second because they have reactions. So to me, what is happening in our country is that they are now trying to impose these mandates at the federal level, which is completely illegal. It's a violation of the separation of powers between the executive branch and the legislative branch, which is supposed to make law, not the feds, not the executive. But they're doing that, in my opinion, because they're desperate and they've got to impose mandates on the public before more people wake up so that they can get rid of the control group of healthy people. And also because I believe, well, I know this is true, that every vaccine that's administered has a barcode attached to it, and your name and details are entered into this system. What I don't know, is that system global or is it just in the United States? But there are many other, you know, unexposed objectives. And so I think they're pushing this super hard, you know, beers and pizza and ice cream and lotteries to bribe the people. But they're failing because people are now like, I'm not doing it. And that's why at least 100 million people are saying, forget it. So I think we have the strength on our side. And if people just hold the line, we will win. We will cripple their businesses who are trying to do this. And it's mostly the corporate sector that's trying to do this.
Right.
They're not the ones who employ the most people. 2/3 of Americans are employed by small and medium-sized businesses. And if small and medium-sized businesses stand by Americans and uphold the founding principles of America, independence, self-reliance, self-determination, human rights to decide what we put into our bodies, we will win. That's the bottom line.
Okay, Leslie, and I, as you're talking about this and I'm thinking about this, small businesses, the way that they try to get us is through licensing. And so many different businesses are concerned about licensing. But again, I think as Americans, if we stand, I mean, I don't go to my hairdresser because she's licensed. I go to her because she's good and she's been referred. So licensing is really not necessary on this. Everyday free people can make decisions on who they want to do business with, irregardless of whether there's licensing. And I think that there may be a big opportunity to push back on this overreach that has occurred over time, because at some point in time, we realized America was founded on this idea of capitalism, and that is free exchange between two people where they trade something of value and they come together and decide, you know, they agree to what that value is. And so we could see a rebirth of the American idea, but it's not easy, and it's not probably going to be a lot of fun, but it is also very exciting.
You know, I always say liberty comes with duty, and it's not easy, right? Freedom isn't free. It doesn't just sit there. It's something we have to stand up and defend. And going back to your licensing comment, doctors are all licensed in this country. Hospitals, all these people, everybody's licensed. 40,000 people are injured every single day in hospitals in America. 40,000. That license is not what protects you. What protects you is intelligent, compassionate people of integrity doing their best. And it doesn't matter if it's a doctor or a hairdresser or an acupuncturist or whatever. Licensing is a mechanism of control. And the licensing and licensing boards are being used to force the doctors, to threaten the doctors to withhold treatment like ivermectin from them, because it goes against what the pharmaceutical industry wants. So you're 100% right about licensing. And the best thing that Americans can do is stand up and take their power back. Who cares if someone's licensed? Who cares if someone is sanctioned by the government? The government is doing all sorts of things that are illegal, that violate human rights, that are not helpful or healthy. I mean, they're banning the sale of ivermectin. They are banning. The CDC's instructed pharmacies to not fill prescriptions for ivermectin. That's not about our health. The best thing those pharmacies can do is to revolt, stand up and say, forget it. I'm not complying with this. I'm not going to participate in hurting Americans. So yes, I think that we have a huge opportunity to do two things. One is to stand up in the hopes of saving our country. And two is to build a parallel system if the first fails, so that we actually create our own, you know, system based on freedom. Can I just say, Kim, I'm coming to Colorado to speak on Thursday in Loveland and on Saturday in Denver, and I hope people will come and hear me. Just wanted to make sure we give a little shout out about my my visit there this weekend.
And Leslie, I should have it at my fingertips, and I don't. Is it on Eventbrite, or how can people buy those tickets? We will get that, and we'll talk about it every day this week as well. How can people get those tickets?
It is on Eventbrite. I haven't organized it. I'm going to be at the Messages of Life in Loveland, and that at a church in Denver. It's on my Telegram channel. If you go to healthfreedomdefense.org, that's my website for Health Freedom Defense Fund, go there and then click on my Telegram link. You will find it on my Telegram channel, and I will repost it right now. I'm just looking on it right now to see. Eventbrite, Medical Tyranny is Here. If you go to Eventbrite and search for that, you should be able to find it. Medical Tyranny is Here. What we must do to fight back and defend ourselves. So I'll speaking on Thursday the 30th in Loveland at the Message of Life Ministries, and then on Saturday in Denver at it's by Bright Lights of Liberty is who's hosting it.
Okay.
That is at the Central Christian Church.
Okay.
In Denver.
And we will also get those links in our recap, which that should be up sometime tomorrow. It takes us a little over 24 hours to get all the moving parts to make that happen. But I would highly recommend that. Leslie, one other thing. I did want to mention, and that is people can help you, and I need to go on and do this, and that is to join. And I think you said, is it $10, just $10, or is it $10 a month, or how does that work?
Well, it's just a one-time $10 fee.
Okay.
It's a joining fee, and it's $10 to join Health Freedom Defense Fund, healthfreedomdefense.org, and we work to protect your health freedoms. We are on the verge of launching more than 10 lawsuits against the federal government, the state of Oregon, a bunch of other major lawsuits, the Los Angeles Unified School District. We've got literally almost, I don't know, it's somewhere between a dozen and 15 in the works. That's what we do, educate, advocate, and litigate against unlawful impingements on our health freedoms. And we need people to be members, because if you become a member, then we have standing to represent you. And we need people to donate, because the more you donate, the more lawsuits we can mount.
Right. And if you are a federal employee, you are preparing to sue the federal government on behalf of federal employees, correct?
We absolutely are doing that. And we are also, we have so many things in the works. We've already sued the federal government over their travel mask mandate. We are preparing to sue on behalf of federal workers over the Biden administration's vaccine mandate. We are preparing to sue on the behalf of a bunch of travel employees, airlines, and Amtrak over the mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees. I can't even begin. The city of San Francisco we're going after, city, county of San Francisco. We have so many in the works. So, yes. And then we're actually, I should say, in Colorado, we are preparing to fight a mask mandate in Colorado Springs on behalf of firefighters, and they're probably going to implement a vaccine mandate. We will sue on that as well. So we've got some stuff going on in Colorado right now.
Okay, well, Leslie's going to be here on Thursday in Loveland, Saturday in Denver, and highly recommend that you buy tickets for that. Go over to Health Freedom Defense Fund and join. And take heart, my friends, take heart, because there are Americans out here like Leslie Manoukian, and she's on the forefront on this to fight back on this. We have to hold the line, so be strong. Leslie Manoukian, thank you so much. And again, that's Health Freedom Defense Fund, and I think it's healthfreedomdefense.org is the website, correct?
That's correct, Kim. And they can click on the Telegram channel to get to our link to see the links to the events. I'll repost it right now.
Fantastic. Leslie Manoukian, thanks so much. And we've not met in person yet, but I feel like you are my sister. So thank you so much.
Kim, I cannot wait to meet a sister.
Okay. Okay. Sounds great. You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I am so excited to talk with Alan Thomas. You know him. He is an author. And the piece that he has written is so important. Now, we're going to roll that out in the newsletter this next weekend. That's why you should sign up for our newsletter at KimMunson.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Alan Thomas. He is an author and writes a number of great op-eds that we publish here at KimMunson.com. But the one that he has just recently written, and we will roll that out in the newsletter this next weekend, is The Difficulty of Living a Principled Life. And Alan Thomas, this truly is a very important piece that you have written, because this is what the founders grappled with. And where do you want to start on this, Alan?
Well, thanks again for having me on, Kim. I just kind of want to say it's kind of funny how you had no idea what the topic of my article was going to be until last week, and you scheduled Leslie, and it all really flows in really well together, because I came up with this topic because as a federal employee, I'm obviously faced with a decision like many of us are now, thanks to President Biden's executive order. And that's, do you do what they say and get the vaccine, or do you quit a job that you really enjoy and that you, that provides for your family? And, you know, that's a difficult, it's a very difficult decision. And it just made me think that this, this idea of living a principled life goes so far beyond COVID and the vaccine and mask mandates. It's something that our founding fathers even struggled with. You know, Thomas Jefferson, you know, the very unfounded attacks on him and on our country's founding still doesn't change the fact that he did own slaves, and he also penned the words, all men are created equal. You know, there is a juxtaposition there that's very interesting, and it's very interesting for us all to study and figure that out, and that even our founding fathers who wrote these amazing documents still sometimes struggled truly embracing a principle or always embracing a principle and living a principled life. And, you know, there's just an encouragement to everyone that we all fail, we all fall short, that it's okay to do that as long as you learn from it, as long as you grow from it, as long as you find people that can come alongside you, support you, and embolden you, and call you out when you don't live up to the life that your words say, that you don't live up to the life you say you can. You know, another example I used in the article was the Apostle Peter. You know, he said, I'm going to follow you till the end of the days, and I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, you're going to do it before next morning. And sure enough, Peter denied Jesus to complete strangers before the next morning. But his story doesn't end there. It doesn't end with him failing to live up to what he said. It goes beyond that. And as we all know, he spread the gospel in a way none of us can even comprehend, and ended up dying for that cause, ended up dying to spread the gospel. So it is important to, like Leslie was saying, remember that you're not alone in this, and remember that, you know, these difficult decisions aren't made in a vacuum, and there's others that are struggling with the same thing. But also just to remember your legacy and remember what you're living for, and your kids, your family, and everything, and what type of legacy and what type of life do you want to live and leave behind, and just constantly be living towards that goal.
Alan, there is so much force and coercion going on right now. And when you have an entity such as the government that is making people make choices about their principles, first of all, I don't think the founders ever thought that that was the proper role of government. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people, by we the people, was instituted to protect our lives and our property and our pursuit of happiness. I mean, the vision of the Declaration. When you've got a government that is forcing people to have to make choices about their principles, this is a government that is out of control, Alan.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've heard a lot of people just say, oh, well, I'm just going to do it that way we can get on with life, or I'm just going to do this or that or the other. And sort of compromise for compromise's sake, you know, and that's not what our country was even founded on. You know, our country didn't sit back and say, well, you know what, we actually want more taxes. We just think Britain's doing it wrong. So we're going to form our own government. That way we could tax more, or that way we can house our own soldiers in other people's houses. No, our country was built on the fact that it was, you know, it was revolutionary. It was, hey, you know what? You're not allowed to do that to me because I'm a person, I'm a human, and you're not allowed to make these decisions about my life without me being involved. There was a show my wife was talking to me about, and it was interesting because it involved COVID, and a brother was talking to his brother and calling him selfish and saying, why can't you just do this for the community's sake? You're putting everybody at risk. And he replied back and he said, it's my life. And that kind of rings very true, especially with all this, because, you know, the government doesn't have to deal with the repercussions of putting masks on children and the developmental issues that they may face later in life, we as parents have to face that. You know, the government doesn't have to deal with the fact that they forced your small business to close, or that they took away your only income, your livelihood, your dream, your goal, like what you've been building up towards your whole life. They don't have to deal with that ramifications and that justification. You do. And so I think that's always important to kind of come back and say, that's why this country is so beautiful and so wonderful. It's because we respect that. We respect the fact that it's your life to live, that you have to live it the way you feel best. And don't feel selfish because you're living your life and that you have to do what you think is best for you and your family and your kids.
Well, and there's so many things going on in my mind. First of all, I guess I want to say is the radical activist left, the Marxist left, there is no forgiveness at all. So, for example, Thomas Jefferson pens this ideal that all men are created equal, while, as you mentioned, at the same time owning slaves. But take it a step further. Slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. Jefferson grappled with this. He said this slavery was foisted upon us by Britain. And so certainly you can see that those two things don't match up. But yet to put the ideal out there and then not in our education system, explain to our children just what you've done, that there was more to this. And the fact that within, 70 some years, this little country decided to go to war. Over 600,000 people died because of that. And that would be the equivalent. I think I tried to do the math on that one time, Alan. That would be the equivalent of over 3 million people, I think, now dying. But they went to war to answer this question about slavery. I mean, we got to have an honest conversation about this and about who Jefferson really was, instead of just saying, oh, he owned slaves, or Washington, oh, he owned slaves. They had this ideal, which was a beautiful ideal to work towards, Alan.
Yeah, and you nail it. That's why history is so important. And throughout all this, there's reasons why people have brought up, quite honestly, Nazi Germany. It's not because we're saying that, you know, we're living in the same times that it created that, but at the same time, you do see this aspect of, you know, one of our friends, Jennifer Hulin, had a winery, and she had people reporting her to the health officials, to the sheriff's office, because she was opening her business up and people weren't wearing masks. Well, when you look back in history, you can look back and say, well, that happened very similarly in Nazi Germany. Where did it start? Well, they started off by saying, well, Jews need to wear the Star of David. And it's a very simple thing. You know, it doesn't seem like it's much, but slowly that Star of David slowly starts turning into something more and more. And that's why so much of us are against things like vaccine passports, such as health passports, because we've studied history and we've said, you know what, labeling people, dividing people into different groups, treating other people as if they are less than yourself because of the decisions they make, never leads itself to a good end. You know, things don't end well when that happens. Things didn't end well in ancient Rome when they did that. Things didn't end well in Nazi Germany when they did that. Things haven't ended well in Hong Kong or China for people who have said, I want to live my life. You know, even in Afghanistan right now, if you say that you're a Christian, things aren't going to end well for you, because they live in a society where if we can divide you out into different groups and we can criminalize you or we can ostracize you, we're going to treat you differently. That's why you study history. That's why you have to understand more than just dates and key figures. You have to understand what happened and why it happened that way and learn from it and try not to repeat those mistakes.
Well, that is so true, Alan. Let's continue the conversation. Let's go to break. I'm talking with Alan Thomas about this piece that he has written, The Difficulty of Living a Principled Life. These are the really the key questions that we really ask ourselves. And so it's an important piece. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is getting all kinds of new inventory in preparation for the Christmas season. And they have the knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're getting a birthday gift or a wedding gift, or you need that new knife, you're a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. And through the month of October, if you make your living, such as a chef or a butcher, with a knife, that tool is so important. Castlegate will give you a 20% discount on sharpening that knife so that you're on your game. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Alan Thomas when we return.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And on the line with me is Alan Thomas. He's an author, and he's written a really important piece. We'll roll that out in next week's newsletter. The Difficulty of Living a Principled Life. And Alan, the radical activist left, the thing that is so concerning to me is there is no forgiveness. So there is no forgiveness of anybody that might have a different opinion. But I think there's also no forgiveness of themselves. And we're seeing this play out with, as you mentioned, our friend Jen Hewlin. People calling the health department saying people have gone into her business and have made the choice to go into her business and to give her business. And they've made the choice to not wear a mask. I'm over here driving by. I'm not going to go into that business, but I report them. And I find that just a terrible way to live a life, Alan.
I certainly do, too. And that sort of moral superiority is difficult to talk with. It's difficult to try and reason and talk with them. But I do just want to say it is important not to just be silent when people like this speak up, when people try and shame you or guilt you into, you know, you obviously don't love your grandmother if you just want to meet a friend in your own home. It's still important to be active and engaged and to use your God-given right to assert yourself, to say, you know what, you've said this many times and I disagree with you and here's why. And you know, it's even if they disagree with you, even if you get into an argument, as long as you're respectful and as long as you challenge what they're saying, that's the important part. Because too often it's when the good stay silent that we start to lose this. And with coworkers or family, you just have to keep talking and keep challenging them where they're at, because we need to show them that, you know what, while they have the media and they have the government right now, there are a lot of us, there's millions of us that don't believe what they're doing is right and don't believe that they're morally superior and don't believe that, you know, guilting us or trying to use those type of arguments is right or necessarily reasoned or logical, because it's not. And so we need to continue to push the narrative and don't be silent. And we need to feel that ability to once again use one of our virtues that the founding fathers believed when they founded the country, and that's self-assertion, and just say, you know what, I'm going to challenge you on this. I don't believe you're right, and I'm not going to stay silent any longer about it.
Well, and Alan, I have had a lot of, in my journey, I've had a lot of experience in conversations, and I have to tell you, I went through an angry period, a kind of a more confrontational period, because like the kids were coming home from school and saying things that just didn't match up, but I couldn't put my finger on it, and I wasn't good at articulating that. I'm getting better at it, and one of the things that I've learned is I might say, you know what, I see that differently. And we could just go through the headlines then that we mentioned regarding this, is that did you know that the CDC Walensky actually overruled the vaccine advisory panel on boosters? Did you know that Norway has actually declassified COVID to just the flu now? Did you know? And so because I'm learning that and doing that research, I see it differently. And how's that match up with you? Do you like that, or do you think that's not forceful enough?
I love that. And you know, I think it's very important. You know, even somebody like you who's on a radio show who talks about these issues daily, sometimes it's difficult to talk to people, to persuade some people, and it takes practice. And it just takes you speaking up and saying, you know what, I'm not going to stay silent on this. I'm going to talk to the Walmart greeter when they ask me to put on a mask, or I'm going to talk to this business owner when they request that. You know, you've told me a story about when you went out to California to visit family and you challenged the store owner on their mask wearing. But it takes that. It takes practice. And, you know, not every one of us is a master persuader, but we have to be willing to try. And I think right now so many people are like, you know what, I'm just going to stay quiet about this for 2 weeks, flatten the curve. And I'm just going to stay quiet about this because surely it's going to be over soon. And you know, it's the small decisions we make in life that build up to the big ones. And, you know, it may be a small thing just to say, you know what, I don't see that the same way, like you said, or I'm gonna kind of question that, or why do you see it this way? It's asking those small questions allows us to then go after the big ones and be persuasive and stand up for the right things when the time comes.
Well, and Alan, it's not easy. What you're describing, I have not told that story on the air, but I had gone to a restaurant with family, and I walked in without a mask and sat down. Everybody had gone in before me, and I just wasn't having it. And so I walked in, and the waiter came over and said, you need to wear a mask. And we saw that you came in without a mask. I said, well, you know what, I respectfully am not going to put one on. And I could see everybody in the party's like, oh, great, we're not going to get to eat dinner here. And I said, you know, they really don't work. And he said, well, I have to get the manager. And oh my gosh, everybody at the table's like, and so he came over and I said, hey, you know what? I totally understand that you guys are being forced to do this. And I happily will leave. They don't work. And I said, this is really about our freedoms. And he said, well, okay, you can stay here. You can eat this time. I want you to be able to be with your family. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And so he walked away and he said, but I have to make sure the wait staff feels comfortable waiting on you. And so the waiter came over, the server, and really had a great conversation, had a wonderful meal. And then one of my family members, I said, you know, I'll pay for this. And one of my family members said, I hope that you are prepared to tip like a Rockefeller. And I said, I am. But just that little standing for freedom. And it wasn't easy, Alan. It wasn't easy. It's easier to comply and it's easier not to stand up. But if we don't stand now, we've gone from 2 weeks to flatten a curve to if you don't take a forced jab that is still an experimental drug, if you don't take that, you can't fly, you can't go to a restaurant. It's not going to get better if we don't stand up.
No. And I mean, you think back to Nazi Germany, how much better would it have been if they would have stood up from the beginning and said, no, we're not going to do this whole star thing. Like, you know, we're going to stand up for our other fellow compatriots and stand up like that. And, you know, the other aspect of what you're talking about, Kim, is you were respectful. And I think that's kind of getting lost. It's so easy when others are passionate or angry to match that emotion. And we really have to take a step back, and that's one of the things the Founding Fathers talked a lot about, was we have to not surrender to our passions, to our emotions. We have to be able to be more stoic and take a step back and approach things in a more reasoned and logical way. And I guess I'd like to end, if I could, just talking about George Washington, because he's an amazing, I mean, you could study that man's life and come out with so much about how to live your life. But, you know, back in colonial days, it was tough to appreciate how much of a celebrity he really was. You know, he won the Revolutionary War as a general. And when we talk about making small decisions that lead to big ones, George Washington didn't even want to go to the Constitutional Convention because he understood how much of a presence and celebrity he was in the new America at the time. Luckily, the Founding Fathers talked him into going. But when he ran for president after two terms, he had the ability to become a king of America, essentially. You know, he had the power, he had the prestige, he could have been, and many people who didn't support him or like him were worried that he would do that. And that's why it was such a big deal when he stepped down after two terms. That's why so many presidents after him respected that act that George Washington made, to not fall into the power that he could have had, and he stepped away. And, you know, that's what living a principled life really looks like, is when you have all the power to step away from it. And I would just encourage everyone to be like Washington, to make the small decisions when you can, and to live a principled life as best you can.
Oh, Alan Thomas, I tell you, this piece is so important. So that we'll roll that out this next weekend. Thank you so much, Alan Thomas. Great piece, and you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
And our quote for today is from Michael Josephson. He said, "People of character do the right thing, not because they think it will change the world, but because they refuse to be changed by the world." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.